There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Well, okay, come up with a different intro because we're not doing that one. So I don't know why you're trying to tank your career. Okay, so
I had a dream last night that I was eating a hamburger and they had baked pickles into the bread.
Was not a dream. Was not a dream. All right, that's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. We got really creative dreamer Henry Zebrowski.
That's what I do. I have different types of dreams. You know, I had a dream the other night.
They're all about food.
I had a strange dream. Apparently, food dreams are about sex. So.
No, they're about food.
Either way, I wake up hard. As a birch tree.
That's one of the hardest trees.
Each day I wake up like that. No, I had this really strange dream where my landlord came into the room at night. Like, apparently, like he gave me a bottle of wine for Christmas, which is true, right?
Okay.
And I drank it. I got real sleepy and I fell asleep on my couch.
Right.
I had this crazy dream where my landlord like came into the living room and he took off my pants and he started sucking my dick.
Started sucking your dick.
Wow, you have a lot of dreams about people sucking your dick. Men sucking your dick.
I'm just saying.
It's food or your landlord sucking your dick.
That was like a dream, right?
No, it was not. You were drugged and violently molested. All right. Well, speaking of drugging and violently molesting people, today's subject loves drugs, and he certainly loved violence and molesting people. Of course, we're discussing, this is our second heavy hitter.
Third
heavy hitter, Richard Ramirez.
The Night Stalker himself, and let's play his theme song.
Where is he going to? Isn't that something? Are we on I-95? What highway are we on?
This guy is the real deal. Richard Ramirez was the devil walking the earth.
Sociopath.
He is the scariest, most despicable, most evil serial killer that has ever existed on American soil.
Like, I am now completely upon this round of research. Like, it's mind-blowing that he even existed. It's like he was a Hitler type. Like, he was a person that only lived to create mayhem and destruction. There was no chance to save him.
Very, very bad public speaker. Not one with words, though. I wouldn't equate him to Hitler, per se.
No, but he actually talked pretty well. Like, he has, like, a good statement. Like, he has a really interesting idea about the nature of evil. Like, he talks about it all over the place.
Yeah. So he's fascinated by this man's theory.
I'm fascinated by him.
Yeah. All right, Marcus. Well, let's get into the
That was the song Night Prowler by AC/DC.
Yeah, I wanted it to be Highway to Hell.
No, but that's
Night Prowler was off of that. Night Prowler's off the album Highway to Hell.
I know,
Night Prowler was his favorite song. It contains the lyrics, "Was that a noise outside your window? What's that shadow on the blind? As you lie there naked like a body in a tomb. Suspended animation as I slip into your room."
Yeah, while I'm pumping myself up for the podcast, I listen to that Prego commercial jingle over and over again.
Which one is that?
Up,
you know? Thank God it's Prego.
And I just put on a chef's hat and I fucking trot around my living room.
Oh, is that
something?
Yeah,
that's how I get into character for last podcast.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, because normally I'm very sophisticated and subtle.
Yeah, no, you're not. All right.
So Richard Ramirez, he was known alternately. He had possibly the most media names out of any of the serial killers.
And of course, the Night Prowler is the one that he wanted to be called.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He was known as the Valley Intruder, the Midnight Stalker, the Walk-In Killer, the Screen Door Intruder.
All right, what do we got here? Screen door intruder or walk-in killer. What's worse? I feel like screen door intruder might be the worst name I've ever heard for
screen
a serial
door
killer.
You mean to really tell me that Night Stalker, like someone was trying to change the Night Stalker. Right. Night Stalker is the most incredible nickname that you could possibly have.
I want to see the editor for the New York Post or whatever the LA paper
LA
was.
Times.
Was the LA
that,
Times
yeah.
cover. Like, all right, who's got some ideas? You got some ideas? Go. I'm thinking the screen door intruder.
I want him to
Gary,
call
you're fired.
The silent cougar of mayhem.
Bob, you're also fired. Does anybody have a name?
Thank God I wanted to be fired. I'm going to make my own brand of English muffins.
All right, you're hired. I don't want you to achieve your dreams.
What about my nooks and crannies?
You're out of here. Nooks and crannies?
Thomas's English problem. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
but
matter.
But he also had nicknames as a kid, because, as we'll get into it, he is very much so, I compare him immediately to Ted Bundy, where, like, you talk about Ted Bundy, the most dangerous man in America. He was legitimately, during his reign of terror from 84 to 85, he was the scariest motherfucker that was around. He was a capable, intense, unstoppable killer. We already even talked about this. If he had just worn a fucking mask,
yeah,
no one would have found him.
Probably
he would
not
have been
ever.
Gone. He killed all over Los Angeles. He drove to San Francisco. We're going to cover everything, of course.
Of course, of course.
But he also had nicknames growing up. They called him Dedos, and they called him, Ricky Rabon.
Mm-hmm. Which Ricky means, Rabon.
Yeah, which is means Ricky the robber, Ricky the thief. And
that's
because
not a good nickname.
Just like Ted Bundy, he grew up in a semi-normal, like, he grew up in with a semi-normal family, but he was a constant thief.
We'll get into the family. Nah. The emphasis on semi-normal. But I would say, in Bundy's defense, I think that Bundy was a little bit superior just because of his the length of his reign, number one. And he crossed state lines.
I don't know.
Mr. But Ramirez, Bundy was extremely organized. Richard Ramirez was not organized whatsoever.
But that's what made him more dangerous. And Richard
I agree
Ramirez,
with
dangerous.
That.
Richard Ramirez.
It's also what makes him a better OkCupid date. Spontaneity. Having something to
he
say at the drop of a hat.
He would have been a lot of fun. On how about we?
How about we break
drive to San Francisco
door.
And rape a 7-year-old?
Ooh, how about we don't? That's another good idea.
But no, he held Los Angeles in a grip of fear. Mm-hmm.
He was convicted of killing 13 people, proven to have killed 16, mm-hmm. and was suspected in another 4.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into it, Marcus. What happened to this guy at a young age that possibly prompted him to become
First of all,
the most vicious serial killers in American history?
It's El Paso, right, that he was born in?
He was born in El Paso.
Yeah, so, the Alamo song, right? Whatever it is, you know?
Down in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl.
And then this guy came into our apartment. I was really in love with her. And he stabbed her a bunch of times in front of me. And then he cut my throat out, too. So it was really bizarre.
Marty Robbins, my friend. One of my favorites.
That's the uncut Marty Robbins, El Paso.
So he was born the youngest of 6.
Okay.
He had
face, please.
Have some respect.
For our Spanish listeners, this is goes out to you guys.
This is right. As a matter of fact, this is probably, I'm going to say it perhaps out of ignorance, but I would say that this is the greatest Hispanic serial killer that we've seen in America.
In America, absolutely.
Absolutely, you know? Because they have, South America has some pretty intense, massive, like the child killer, I forget his name, it's like Eduardo something. He killed something like 230 orphan kids. But the thing is, they don't count orphan kids. Because they're just shadows.
Sure, and I think that that's rude. You got to count kids. But yes, so Richard Ramirez.
His father was named Julian Ramirez, okay. And his mother was named Mercedes.
So they're
Ramirez.
Polish?
They're Polish, yeah, that's correct.
His father was extremely violent. He had that old Latin temper, as
you
they
see,
say.
But I feel like, again, it's just the time, it's the immigrant parents, you see that a lot, like, he just got beat. There are a lot of people who get beat and don't turn into the most vicious serial killer of all time.
I would argue that I did not grow up in the most peaceful of households, and at no point did I decide to go through somebody's screen door and rape and murder their entire...
You've never done it.
Never done it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, not all of us...
I feel like there is a lot, but I do think, I mean, this is all... But this is very common with these serial killers. Everyone's like, but their father was mean to him back in the day.
It was nice. It wasn't nice being a kid. Being a kid is essentially being a slave. You're owned by your parents. You put in a giant prison institution that is your fucking school every day.
I don't want to be a Kissel. A Kissel? Who wants to be a Kissel?
Yeah,
I want to be a Jordan.
Jordan. Be of the Jordan family.
Yes. That's a great last name.
That's my middle name.
That's a nice middle name, Marcus Jordan Parks.
Yeah, I wanted to be Sanchez. Enrique Sanchez.
But instead, Henry Zabrowski. Ugh, yuck.
It's unique.
It's fine.
So at the age of 2 years old, he had the first of what happened to many serial killers, and they were young children, mm-hmm. the first of two massive head injuries.
Okay. It's really interesting because John Wayne Gacy mm-hmm. had the massive head injury.
This reminds me of a story when I was a kid. I used to somersault into the same corner of the wall.
Is that what reminds you of that?
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
I just thought of it.
Were you just a giant autistic monster?
Yeah, I was sort of like a melon head for those referencing the last episode. Melon head's the greatest of all the freaks.
A dresser fell on top of Richard Ramirez when he was 2 years old. Took 30 stitches to stitch up his forehead.
Damn.
3 years later, when he was 5, he was knocked unconscious by a swing at a park, which I believe was the same thing that happened to John Wayne Gacy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ramirez started to experience epileptic seizures, eventually stopped when he was in his early teens.
I was watching The Great Richard Ramirez Born to Kill. I love my favorite serial
Is
killer
it called
doc series.
The Great Richard Ramirez Born to Kill?
No, it's the it, there's this
a
UK,
a little bit, yeah.
There's a UK series called Born to Kill,
okay.
Which is my favorite serial killer. It's a great serial killer documentary series. Yes, that's what they're saying. Yeah. It's a great documentary. And they were talking about in elementary school, they interviewed a woman that grew up with him. And she's like, Ricky always used to step behind me and stab me with his pencil. And I go, stop it, Ricky. Mm-hmm. Stop it. And he go, no, me no stop it. And those, then he hit me with the pencil. And then he fall down. He shake like 4 minutes. Like
that's just a, cute little kid story. You know, that's just a cute Richard Ramirez story there. Dime a dozen, huh?
Ricky always telling jokes, walking me to school. She was very sweet. Very gentle, little.
She sounds exceptionally lucky. I mean, to be poked by a pencil
by
Richard
Ramirez.
She has
that sort of eternal housemaid accent.
Yeah, sure.
She sounds like the woman that used to clean up my parents' office and sell us tamales. Yeah.
I love a good tamale, and I love a good worker, and thank you.
It couldn't be racist if it was real. You know, if it wasn't totally
Her name
real.
Was Rosa.
Yeah.
Rosa.
She babysat us sometimes. She had chickens. It was wonderful.
And Rosa was a wonderful woman, and all of our hardworking public servants out there, thank you for what you do. If you're a house cleaner,
you're trying to.
Is that your euphemism for Mexicans?
No, I'm not. No, I am just saying that I respect people who have jobs that I could literally never do because I'm a messy American pig.
Let's get
anyway. I'm just thanking people who have jobs.
It's around this time in his early teens when he also started sleeping in a local cemetery to escape his father.
But that's just like,
I used to do that with a girl I dated in college. We used to go hang out in a cemetery. It's awesome.
Yeah. What part of that story is a lie?
You know?
Girl?
Yeah.
Ah, I dated plenty of girls.
dated.
Now, if I stared at you for 35 seconds, so we're dating now.
Hey, you want to do this burrito, a Lady in the Tramp style? Fucking never mind. I want it for myself. So impression of me, thanks to me.
I want to see you burrito with a lady in the Tramp style.
I will fucking marry the woman who wants to do it.
Oh, yes, indeed.
So what was absolutely more influential than sleeping in cemeteries was his cousin Mike.
Now, cousin Mike is like, have you ever seen, everyone has seen Tommy, who's Tommy?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, what's his name, Cousin Eddie. Mm-hmm. Fiddling about.
Oh my, I don't think I've actually seen that.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Now, Cousin Mike, so he was a very good cousin to him, and he taught Ramirez all the wonderful ways of being an upstanding citizen?
I mean, well, he was a cousin, and he taught him a lot of things.
He taught him many things.
Now, he was a former Green Beret.
In what war was Mike in?
Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh, so no PTSD.
The bad one.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And he brought back from Vietnam Polaroids. You ask, what were these Polaroids of?
Let me guess. Of him helping children?
Spring rolls.
Is that right? Just good old comrades just getting along?
Yeah, it was Instagram. Yeah,
he was Instagram.
Pictures of all, look at my food.
Just mimosas.
That's great.
No, it was him raping Vietnamese women. It was him decapitating Vietnamese women. Oh. Him torturing Vietnamese women.
Selfie.
Should I put a sepia filter on this dead woman?
Weird.
And, of course, he's also the guy that introduced Richard to marijuana.
Okay.
I mean, but marijuana should have helped him.
You would think with the seizures and things, it was a gateway thing.
You know, his seizures did stop around the time that he started smoking marijuana.
There's a lot of people that it's been used in Parkinson's research and stuff like that. It's great.
And you ask, what did Mike teach him? Mike taught him about his combat experiences, mm-hmm. including stealth. And secrecy.
And how to kill someone in one shot.
Yeah, how to kill someone very quickly.
It was kind of
quickly,
like a Big Brother program for serial killers.
Yes. If you want to become a serial killer, you need a cousin.
Cousin
Mike.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And in 1973, on May 4th, that's when Mike finally lost his mind. And right in front of Little Richie, as they called him, Mike shot his wife in the face.
Then that's what we're saying, too. The thing about it is, like, this process started when Richard Richie was... when he was 12. And so there is, again, when we see over and over again, the sexual impulse. At this point, like, your sexuality is changing. Mm-hmm. His cousin was like, this is how you get sex. You take it. You look, you take, you kill, you rob, you murder. It's about that. He creates this image in his head. And that's where, like, where Richard has to meet him halfway, has to meet the impulses halfway. Instead of being disgusted and being like, what the hell are you doing, Cousin Mike? He loved it. Mm-hmm. It made him hard.
Well,
his stories made him
old, yeah. I mean, and Mike, obviously, who looked up to him. So Mike shot his wife in front of him. And you know what? I think it's interesting whenever we do this, and this is why I love our Heavy Hitters episodes. You never heard Richie Ramirez. Richie Ramirez is just like the
Richie!
He's the guy who hugs you when you walk into Walmart. Like, that's Richie Ramirez, you know?
He's like playing bongos.
Richie Ramirez and his Mambo 5.
It could have been a whole different I Love Lucy.
It is a totally
but it's
different
just
I Love
Lucy's
Lucy.
Like tied up by the fucking the ankles, yeah. And he's cutting a pentagram into her chest.
Right, right. Well, she messed up at the chocolate factory, so
he
obviously
must
she needs
really
to be
like Lucy.
Yeah, he's murdering her. But it is fascinating because you just never hear these are children.
Yeah, it's,
he's 12 years old, and obviously, you know, I think he was born a sociopath.
He was born. That's the question comes up all the time. He was born with the perfect serial killer deck. He was born to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Again. But of course, Richie does sort of humanize him in a very bizarre way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Richie makes him seem, because he was a kid. I was sitting and I was like reading and I was like, it's that dumb thing always that they say of like, all these people used to be kids. They were all kids at some point. Like,
you got to kill all the kids.
Yeah.
If you see a kid, kill them now. You got to murder them now before they murder you.
There's a serial killer eggs walking around. Yeah, they're learning their letters and they're fucking learning about colors and Martin
Luther
King.
Write Helter Skelter on the door when they murder. Your family.
You're talking about the things that build a serial killer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So far, we've got, of course, he was born, something was off. Then he has the head injury. Then he has cousin Mike.
Then he has a father beating the crap out of him.
He didn't do the other stuff. He didn't do the bedwetting. He didn't do animal torture.
Not that we know of.
Yeah.
Right.
And then another piece falls into place, which I think, this is very underrated as far as what contributed to him becoming the Night Stalker. He moved in with his sister Ruth, and her husband was a notorious peeping Tom.
Yeah.
He would take Richard, a fucking 13-year-old kid, along with him on Peeping Tom expeditions.
So some parents take their children to work. You know, CEO of Whole Foods, you know, come and see how I run a company.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he had...
No, little Richie, this is how you stand on the garbage can so you can see the girl's bush in there.
I'm just so bored. I don't think I have the patience for it. Shut up, Richie. You'll get used to it.
You'll like it.
And it's also around this time that Richie began experimenting with acid for the first time. Around ninth grade is when he started experimenting with acid, and it's also when he started getting into Satanism and into AC/DC, his favorite fucking
band
in the world.
Which rules. They still got it. They still get to it.
I've just never listened to AC/DC and been like, I'm going to take these lyrics seriously. I'm going to follow that highway to hell.
I thought that AC/DC is just meant to, like, you know, shotgun beers to. Right?
Exactly.
It's not supposed to be. It's hard partying. You're supposed to be like waving your shirt around your head, and it's good, like having like a girl named Rosie on your shoulders.
I never saw a pair of boobs that weren't covered in beer.
Yeah.
That's AC/DC.
Yeah, that's but it. Again, though, there are people that did acid when they were younger. Because acid, when I started taking acid and doing hallucinogens, you have that idea of like universal consciousness.
Sure.
You get all hippie.
The last thing you want to do is be splashing blood all over your torso as you stab a woman to death.
It seems kind of intense.
It seems awful.
I don't even want to have a 5-hour energy drink and do acid.
That's
what I mean? Because it's too much.
I can't even have a conversation over like, can you get me a beer from the fridge? I'll just get it myself. I don't want confrontation.
Yeah, no confrontation.
None.
Yeah.
But obviously he saw the world in a different way.
Yeah, he got fueled into it.
Yes, he did.
He became a distancer.
And it's
instead of like involving himself with the universe, it distanced him from reality.
Very interesting. And that is a bizarre, I would say, not the norm of most psychedelic drugs.
No, he did
most
it wrong.
Most of them do make you, relatively at one with the world.
It's supposed to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's not supposed to turn you into a serial killer.
So we got double brain drama. We got a father beating him. We got Mike shooting his wife in front of him. We got him sleeping in graveyards. We got marijuana and
he went
to
the fucking Eagle Scout system of being a serial killer thanks to his family.
And he's the peeping Tom. Yeah.
And before he was even out of high school, he had his first rape.
Yes, but he didn't get convicted.
Do you get a letterman's jacket for that? Do you get it? I mean, because you know.
I don't think you get a cord at graduation.
You don't get the rape cord.
No, he worked at the Holiday Inn, and he got a key card to one of the rooms, forced his way into the room, and tried to rape the wife while the husband was out of the room. The husband comes back, finds him doing it, beats him unconscious.
Yeah.
Beats the ever-loving piss out of him.
Hey, Richie, how long did you think it was going to take him to get the fucking ice?
Well, the big thing is that Richard Ramirez is not that big of a guy.
No, like, he's not. Like, he's weedy. He's about my size.
He's
actually
your size.
Yeah, and he's my height, my weight.
Right, but you're sharp.
Yeah, looking just like you.
Yeah.
Kind of looks just like you.
Isn't that...
He's got much prettier smile. Hair than I do. Yeah. Say what you will about Richard Ramirez, his hair is beautiful.
He's got some beautiful nice hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but he, that's a problem. So that's why from then on, I'm sure that failed rape was a thing that went through his head forever of just being like, I will never be out of control
that
again.
That needs to be a Pert Plus commercial. just a woman getting stabbed to death by Richard Ramirez and just have a thought bubble be like, but look at that hair.
Look at that hair.
What you know, but
cuts
what's
to Richard
with the
Ramirez
hair?
Doing this shiny, like, hair thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even in prison, his hair was immaculate.
It was. It's one of those sad facts of life.
You know, he just some people are born with stuff like that.
He was born with it.
A lot of stuff he was born with.
You know how many nice guys are out there that are bald? That's rude.
Yeah,
you know,
I've had back hair since I'm 9.
That's right.
You know?
That's not right. That's terrible. It's terrible.
The reason why the rape never, why he was never convicted for it, he was never even charged with it because the couple refused to testify, which was a big thing.
Well,
for decades, rape charges wouldn't go to trial because the victims wouldn't want to go through the humiliation an actual trial and testify.
Yeah, because back then, especially before, like, you know, victim blaming has been going on for so long and police officers are like, yeah, so what'd you do to make him do it? You know, it's like over and over again.
Well, you know what's so fascinating? I did grand jury duty in Kings County, Brooklyn here, and I'll tell you, Williamsburg is not Brooklyn. Much more like Williamsburg, Virginia, as I like to say, very white. White.
That's fine. Sure, fine. Sure.
White.
Sure, whatever.
Williamsburg, Virginia. But it was disgusting. We had to watch a 15-minute sexual assault. The man never actually got to rape her. But it was violent enough
for me to
be
very... The way you said never got, actually
well,
got
he never
to rape
did.
Her.
I mean, I took it a different way. I mean,
that's your brain.
I chose to give him the benefit. I could have taken it that way, but I chose to give you the benefit of the
thank
doubt.
Thank you, Marcus. Not thank you, Henry. But, so we watched this, and I'm thinking, grand jury duty, we'll just send this right to trial. It won't be a problem. Literally, the first four questions were from like a dude from Barbados, Hispanic guy, and they were like, why was she out so late? Why was she wearing a dress that short? Why was she drunk? Why was she alone? I freaked out, and I was the scary white guy from then on.
Hell yeah,
great.
That's what you gotta do. We gotta play that card every once in a while.
And this
yeah,
is, of course, 2013 at the time, and you can imagine late 70s where the stigma was on rape.
Oh, yeah.
My God.
And so this poor woman, I mean...
And this, how old was he when that happened? That was like, what, 16?
16, yeah. He was in high school. I mean, because, of course, he was a high school dropout.
Yes.
He did not graduate,
which is another one of those things where, you know, when they do like, these people didn't graduate from high school.
Right.
So it was like Jim Henson, Johnny Carson, and
Bill
Richard
Gates.
Ramirez. Yeah.
And of course, what was that interview like when he got the job for Holiday Inn?
He's like, I just like to see what everybody looks like when they're sleeping.
Well, we love good customer service.
That's right. Can you imagine a better job for he's a peeping Tom. All he wants to, I mean,
you
this
get
is
a master
screen
key
door
card,
intruder.
Because the idea is like, how many, it's like, I've lived at a hotel. So you spend a lot of time in hotels. You treat it like your house. You don't even, you forget that you have a human being. I don't know how, like, you know, you
he's
just
coming
leave,
into your house.
You leave cum everywhere.
Yeah.
You're like in a hotel room. You're nasty. The room's dead because you're just living in private. And they walk right in there.
And if
you could just play with your stuff.
If you're a listener and you have any like maid experience or any sort of like a hospital or any experience where you walk into random people's rooms, I would love send in your horror stories because I'm sure you've seen some fucked up
weird
shit.
I imagine.
But what a great job for a young Richie to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really
Richie
ideal.
Really struck gold with that.
He did.
Yeah. Well, after he fucked it up by trying to rape a woman.
We're back to that. Never mind.
Yeah. At 18, he moved out to Southern California where he would live out the rest of his days.
Going out west for the chicks, I'm gonna get a new place and get some jobs.
Step. I actually do think that was, what's the name of the Beach Boy?
Brian Wilson?
I think that was Brian Wilson's lyrics for that song. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
And Mike Love is just going like, hey, Brian, man, I don't want to step on your groove or nothing.
Right.
But I think we need to give a second revision to these lyrics because this is about being a serial killer. And we should be writing about surfing and cars.
I'll tell you something right now.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't surprise you to know that Richard Ramirez did not have the best diet in the world. He lived on convenience store food.
Okay.
His teeth rotted out, and he suffered.
And then there's also
from
something too with Ted Bundy doing the high sugar diet defense.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So, Richie's fucking teeth were rotted out of his head, and he had horrible halitosis, which was something that almost every victim who survived would pin on him.
Halitosis is
chronic bad breath.
Yeah, and so he went to Skid Row, and it became like Skid Row, L.A. became his perfect home. All he did was drugs and party and fuck prostitutes and hang out in Skid Row, steal stuff, steal cars.
And this at this time, Skid Row, it was much like Times Square of New York. Worse. Right? I mean, it was actually where people that were just out of prison went.
Barely any better. It's barely any better now. I drove down there because I looked because the hotel where he lived was where that Asian woman went missing like last year.
That was found in the water.
Yeah, found in the water well above it. That. Yeah, that was the same hotel. And so I drove down there, and that place is a fucking nightmare. It's still exactly the same. Wow. It's a huge war zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's violent stuff.
You know what? We really don't know much about the first 3 years that Richard Ramirez lived in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Jesus disappeared.
Yeah, during from 12 to 33. Yeah. We don't really know a whole lot about
it. Right.
So in those 3 years,
he invented the pizza.
I did not know that. Wow. Well, I'll believe it because you said Jesus did it.
Well, he no doubt had a lot of breaking and entering at this time. And we don't know if he raped anyone. We don't know if he killed anyone. Although if he would have killed someone, he would have told us about it. Because he was not shy about talking about what he did.
He was spreading his satanic message. Yeah. That's the one thing about him.
Hasn't too, embraced Satanism yet.
No, he has. He had since he was 12.
Yeah.
Oh, he embraced it.
Yeah. Well, about 14.
Yeah. He is a person that actually had. That's why I was saying it's like when you listen to him talk, he really did have a point of view. Like he felt that he was doing what he was doing for a purpose, which is basically saying like everybody lives in a prison. I'm the only free man you'll meet.
Of course. And I mean, you're getting that from the Maury Povich clip.
No, but there's another interview that he did that it's the same. He said the same exact thing.
He loves to talk.
We're doing our last podcast on the left live show tonight, and there are some great Maury Povich interview footage with Richard Ramirez.
Man, those big fat people in that audience don't like Richard Ramirez.
No, they don't.
It just scowls. It just covers the audience, and it's just people just going like, I can't believe it. Someone would be like that.
It is so bizarre because you're watching this man who has murdered multiple people. He's an awful human being that needs to burn in hell forever. And you look at Maury Povich and you're like, he's worse.
You're the other side of the worst. You're the devil.
And then you just have fat audience members all around.
It made Richard Ramirez look reasonable.
It did. It's awful. Anyway, so Richard Ramirez, he's on Skid Row 3 years, hanging out.
And his first murder... We actually did not find out about his first murder until 2009 when DNA evidence linked him. Huh. His first murder was a 9-year-old girl.
Yeah, you notice now too, it's because like his first, because did he sexually assault her too? Did it start with that or did it escalate to that?
I believe, what do you mean? Did he start sexually
because he didn't
her
really
and then it escalated to murder?
He didn't start including sexual assault into his murders, his official murders until like 4N.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm certain that was really easy. Because you notice it's this kind of the same thing that you'll see with the Boston Strangler, which we'll cover at some point. He preyed upon very easy people to murder. He went after the elderly and alone people, single women. Like he went after anybody that was easy to get.
Yeah.
I mean, not always. He would pick houses at random. There were a couple of times where he attacked couples. Like not
Richard,
necessarily
you're talking
older,
about Richard Ramirez.
Ramirez. No,
it's kind of like if you're on a home run streak, you just swing in a bunch of pitches.
Yeah, he's just on fire.
Yeah.
You can't miss. It's like when Michael Jordan scored that 50-point.
It's just like that.
He just couldn't miss. He said he saw the hoop was very big and the ball was very small, and he just threw it right in there.
So his second murder was an old lady named Ginny Vicow. He stabbed her repeatedly while she was asleep. He slashed her throat so deeply that she was almost decapitated.
And that's what we're saying.
Rape her though. And before he got to his second murder though, he moved over to kidnapping and raping little girls for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was a 6-year-old girl. He took her from he took the little girl, stuffed her in a laundry bag, molested her, and then dumped her in a nearby location.
That's the worst form of Santa Claus.
He's like the boogeyman. He's like the old man, like, get my gunny sack, little girl.
He
was a fucking monster.
He was.
And then it was a big thing, is him testing the water and finding how fucking capable and evil he can be.
But then
he also jumps MOs. Like, he does real
so
up close.
Much.
It's really interesting, because the next one, he shot that woman in the head.
The next one, he goes to Maria Hernandez and Dale Ozazaki, who were roommates. Maria Hernandez, she's coming home from work one night. She pulls into the garage. Richard Ramirez, he sidles up. And this is, by the way, after he had raped and dumped another little girl.
This is all in the same night?
No. This is not over, the same night. This is over. The little girl was in February of 1985. This is less than a month later.
Well, okay. His first kill, the first kill that happened of the 7-year-old woman that he nearly decapitated, that was in like March of 1984.
June of 84.
So he had like a 6-month, like what they call hibernation period between,
short,
and then he turned it on. Like once 1985 turned over, he ran 1985.
But just real quick, Mark, as a question for you. So you said that he always confessed to the crimes, but DNA evidence in 09 got him convicted
of another crime.
He never confessed to killing a 9-year-old girl.
He never did.
Okay, so maybe he did feel a little bit of guilt or shame for murdering a child.
Yeah. I don't think he did because, the last crime that we'll get it into the second
maybe
episode.
It was sort
the
of
last
like
crime he does, he purposefully rapes an 8-year-old boy. Like, right. he's not. He has no scruples.
No.
Okay. No, he's not. He feels not an inch of shame. I bet he just forgot that he did it.
Because Yeah.
I bet that there was a period of time that he was doing lots of fucked up shit.
Probably a lot
during
of drugs,
that 3-hour, that 3-year time period that there's no official news on him. He was probably out doing everything.
Yeah. Now, Marcus, my second question to you, is it possible that this girl was the Rainmaker from the movie Looper?
Rainmaker from the movie Looper?
What? Looper.
Are you making fan fiction?
Looper.
Are you just like you
I'm
just
talking Looper.
You're just writing science fiction.
Rainmaker. From the movie Looper.
It's like saying like, oh yeah, it's in the Harry Potter and Hermione double team fucking Hogwarts or whatever that guy's name is.
Not Hogwarts.
Dumbledore was there. I don't know. Oh yeah, did Gandalf come?
The movie Looper, though.
You know who could have stopped this whole thing was Aragorn. Aragorn could have stopped that Richard
Ramirez.
Don't
bring Lord of the Rings in. Don't bring it in.
We will use the 9 rings of men.
All right, so he's on a tear.
He's on a tear, and in 1985, this is when he really starts to run. He attacks Maria Hernandez, 22-year-old girl, with a 22 caliber handgun. This woman, possibly the luckiest serial killer victim in the history of serial killer victims.
Yeah.
Richard Ramirez pulls out the gun. She brings her hand up to defend herself. Hmm. She's got her keys in her hand, and the bullet ricochets off of the keys. She goes down and plays dead. Richard Ramirez goes inside, finds Dale Ozazaki, who's 34. When she heard the gunshot, she ducked under the counter, and finally, when she checked to see if she was gone, peeked up her head a little bit.
He's
still there. Back. Right.
Absolutely.
In the
and this
right.
is really, because then you see this is like, again, not like any other serial killer. He started off with a very personal, like chaotic murder, and then did a gunshot kill, which is just like, where's his head at? He's obviously testing what he wants to do now. Like, yeah, because it's the other, because you look at the differences. It's you got a fucking Ted Bundy or you got Son of Sam, where Son of Sam just shot everybody because he had a mission. It was about the mission. And then Ted Bundy, it's all about getting your dick hard.
Yeah.
But then he's just discovering, oh man, I like all this shit. I'm like a Bo Jackson.
Yeah, that's right. A jack of all trades. And Son of Sam, overrated.
Oh, absolutely.
We all know that.
I don't even know if he... I don't think that he actually classifies as a heavy hitter.
He does not classify.
He's got like a character to him. That's why.
Right.
That's the thing about him. And he made New York really scared.
He did. We might talk about him. But anyway, let's get back to Ramirez here. So
he's a man of his time.
He was.
So like, what's his name? Johnny Winter. That albino guy from his. He had a very specific time period that he was relevant.
That's still good chords. Still good licks. I liked it. So are these the first two women that he has killed with a gun?
He only killed, yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he only killed the one, but attempted.
Was a knife, yeah.
Okay.
And the same night, 1 hour later, and he does this a lot, where he'll go out and just immediately, he'll go for another one. He found this girl, her name was Veronica Yu. He stopped the car, put his car in the park, walked over to her car, pulled her out of the car, called her a bitch, and shot her in the fucking head.
And that's now, the thing, how do we know that he called her a bitch?
Because you hear it over and over again.
Yeah.
All the people that survived him said that was just like, I know it's like, it's very strange, but that's part of what like led to getting him was that he said, shut up, bitch, to every woman he murdered.
Yeah,
and they like,
this
and everybody
is probably one of Mike's
with.
Lessons, of course, is his cousin Mike. Of course, I'm sure.
Well, everyone's
got to
have a motto. You know, John Wayne Gacy, what people didn't really know is he had a really fun catchphrase. It was like, uh-oh, there goes the Cheerios. Like every single time he shot it.
Good.
and he strangled a boy and he came all over himself.
Oh, those were the Cheerios?
Yeah, it was the Cheerios,
his sperm was the Cheerios. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Richard Ramirez, in fact, in the lineup, after they arrested him and they were trying to find witnesses, bitch was one of the things they had him say in the lineup. And
see, that's why I would be going like, bitch, if you ask me.
Bitch.
Is that what you want to hear?
Yeah, I think it was like, shut your mouth or I'll kill you, bitch. And then Ramirez delivered the line perfectly.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's great actor.
Exactly as he said it.
Like a regular Russell Crowe.
Oh, yes, indeed. Although probably a better singer. I heard a lot of negative comments.
Yeah, he can't sing.
Well, the next murder, or the next couple of murders, actually, this is when his MO really starts to take shape, and this is when he starts to get really, really fucking brutal.
Yes.
He breaks into the house of these people known as the Maxine and Vincent Zazara.
Zazara.
Okay, he was 64. She was 44.
Were the first three there, they were all Asian, right?
No, they weren't all Asian. They were Spanish, Asian. Spanish.
And what kind of class of people is he killing here?
Low
in the
class.
Beginning?
Anyone.
And then it was low because then he started neighborhood hopping and city hopping. You would drive to all different areas of Hollywood.
And it wasn't all lower class either. There was some upper class. I mean, he went
down. In the beginning, there were some upper class people.
All throughout.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the things that made him so hard to catch, because there was no pattern to his victims. He would kill and you say, like, you know, he didn't kill any Mexican women. Maria Hernandez.
Yeah.
He tried killing her. It didn't matter to him. It was just whoever was there, whoever was easy. He'd go out, he'd scope out the houses, he'd say that one, he'd go in and he would do shit like he did to the Zazaras. He broke into their house at 2 AM. Vincent was sleeping on the couch, just walked up, popped him in the head, which
is part
of his...
And that became his MO now. Yeah. Takes the dude, kills the dude immediately, and then moves to the woman.
So if you're in a fight with your husband or your wife, just sleep in the bed together. You know, don't make somebody sleep on the couch. You guys love each other. Say I love you before you go to sleep. It's a very dangerous place to sleep.
So he breaks into the house, shoots the guy... The wife hears him.
Okay.
She goes and finds Vincent's shotgun, her husband's shotgun, and she's about to shoot him. Click. No bullets in the gun. Vincent, couple days before, had taken the bullets out of the gun because their grandchildren had come to visit.
So being a nice, good grandfather, doomed his wife to death.
Doomed his wife to a problem. But this is a problem. Like, did she die?
But we can't have Alex Jones. We can't have Alex Jones hear this. If NRA people hear this, be like, that's why you keep the bullets in the gun. When the Hispanic man comes down knocking on your door.
Did she die in this attack?
Well, I'll get to that.
I have a feeling it wasn't exactly great for her.
Yeah, she absolutely died, because after she tried shooting him with the shotgun, boom, 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 three shots right in the chest, and then she died almost instantly. This is when the mutilation comes in.
Yeah, now he starts getting really... he changes. Yeah.
Here's what police found at the crime scene. This is an excerpt from a book by Clifford L. Lindecker. Who wrote a fucking great book?
Lindecker.
Yeah. Lindecker. Or maybe Lindecker.
Lindecker, the dick licker? Are you kidding me? This guy was tormented. Lindecker, you're a dick licker.
I will write a wonderful true crime novel one day.
Whatever, Lindecker.
You know, I'd like to get him on the show sometime.
it's a comedy podcast. No, Lindecker, please come on the show. I'm not going to say dick licker.
Here's what he said. They would never forget the sight of Maxine Zazara's mutilated face. Her eyes were gouged out, and the empty sockets were ringed with blackened gobs of blood and tissue. God. The killer had plunged a knife through her left breast, leaving a large, ragged, T-shaped wound. There were other cruel injuries to her neck, face, and abdomen, and around the pubic area. She had been butchered.
Yeah. The closest celebrity that we could say she looked like was a... older Suzanne Summers.
Oh, really unbelievable.
Richard scooped out the eyes, cut the eyes out, put them in a jewelry box... and took him home.
That's an interesting... It's like Jerry Orbach all over again.
Doesn't seem like you don't put this...
You know, she gave the gift of sight to one Hispanic serial killer.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he saw anything with her eyes, but he certainly held them in his hands anyway.
That's the thing. It's like, what do you do with his eyes? You know what I mean? If it was me, but I have kind of a gauchier style, you know?
A gauchier?
Cufflinks.
Yeah, you want your eyes to be used as cufflinks. I just feel like you don't
keep an eye out for me. You know, I'm like, oh.
So you want to be killed, your eyes gouged out, they're used as cufflinks, so then your serial killer can be punny?
Yeah, a really funny joke at some kind of cocktail party he goes with like Hitler's relatives.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It just seems like this woman shouldn't be taken out in a body bag, but like, what do delis wrap sandwiches in? You know,
wax paper?
Wax paper. Yeah.
Why though? Why?
She's meat. He made her straight up deli meat.
Yeah, I mean, that was the goal. That's what he wanted. Then she becomes not human at all. He's totally in control. She's his plaything. He can do whatever he wants.
And
with
sexually
it.
Now, and I don't know this, is it like Dennis Rader? Is it like BTK? Did he come as soon as he, you know, killed her? And when the blood,
it doesn't
when we
seem
saw the
like
blood,
it,
or?
It wasn't like, it seems like it's not like that. It's more like, I mean, he got hard. He probably jerked off about it for days, but yeah. I don't think that it was that fervent, like right. because
BTK
was,
came like the first time he killed somebody, he came. He's like, I didn't
BTK
know I was going to do that.
Would build up the suspense of doing it for months. He would wait and he'd let it sit and build and build and build. So of course he just shoots as soon as he's done. Sure. Richard Ramirez was just getting one.
Yeah.
And a lot of times he's committing sexual assault. So it's not even just the act. He's raping and getting his release and then murdering.
But he doesn't rape every time.
He doesn't rape every
and
time.
And he doesn't kill every time
kill
either.
Kill every time.
Sometimes he just rapes and then walks away.
He's an incredible... Mm. He was to what... An evil fucker. Like, what? Yeah. Like, he was just the worst of the worst
just
that ever existed.
Whatever he wanted to do there, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the first clue that the cops have, besides the AC/DC cap that Richard left at the Maria Hernandez crime
site. Oh, so he left
which
a
made
hat.
Me so mad if I left my AC/DC hat.
I bet
you gotta go back
since
and get
he
it.
Was like 15.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You gotta go back. You gotta get that AC/DC hat.
I can't believe
back.
I left my hat.
I feel like I'm missing something. Like, I shot the dude. I stabbed a girl.
Why is my beautiful hair flowing in the wind?
Oh, my hat! My fucking AC/DC hat! It's my favorite one.
What he left behind at this one would be one of the things that would lead the police to him. The sneakers.
Yes.
The infamous Avia sneakers.
He left his shoes.
Well, this is how... Well, he didn't leave his shoes. He left a footprint behind.
Footprint, yeah. Okay.
And this is how the police finally figured out that they had a serial killer on their hands. Because they found this footprint. They found the same footprints over at Maria Hernandez. They found the same footprints over at his very first victims. They found them around Veronica Yu. They had a link. Finally.
And pretty much that is when, that's always when the serial killer cases start to immediately, like, the secrecy of your actions as a serial killer start to crumble as soon as the idea of the serial killer is put together.
Yeah.
As soon as they know that it's a serial killer, because now they're looking for the comparisons. Because he was obviously playing a game by driving for different cities around Los Angeles so that he could, you separate the crimes. You make it look it's happening over here, it's happening here, you change up MOs, no one can find it.
And at the time, the LAPD was notorious for not communicating within different precincts.
Yeah.
It was
highly competitive.
Extremely competitive, so they just didn't work together at all. In fact, the guys that were on the case, that were eventually put on the case, same cop that caught Gary Ridgway.
That guy's a great cop, too.
That guy's a fantastic cop.
What's his name? The head of the investigator.
I can't remember. We'll get to him on the next episode.
He's such a cool fucking... Yeah. Like, I was watching interviews with him, and what a great fucking cop.
And of course, Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer. I think that his numbers are the highest numbers recorded.
Yeah, and he's got that plus. Cliff mustache, which is nice.
Oh, it's
to
really
see.
Something. So the man had terrible taste in shoes. That's what I've learned
so far about
Richard Ramirez.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he wasn't a fancy dresser, and he wasn't a smooth talker, but he went in and he did what he had to do, kind of like a certain President Lincoln.
President Lincoln
out there, he made a career for himself, and that's what you got to do in this world. You got to take the bull by the horns.
That's right, that's right. Yeah. I'm surprised Avia, now I don't believe that shoe company still exists.
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
They should have hopped on it. They should have hopped on. This is a marketing campaign. You want to stalk? You all looking to fucking stab some families?
So quiet. The women won't even hear you sneak into the closet.
Won't even wake up a guy on a couch.
Oh, no. They're still around.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Made by a guy in Oregon.
What?
One man in Oregon.
One man in Oregon.
He's like, I'm going to keep my legacy going. I don't care. Ain't no serial killer going to crush the quiet, beautiful action of my tennis shoe sneakers.
I love those tennis shoes.
None's going to keep Jerry Stubblefield down.
That's his name, Stubblefield. All right. So we have the cops are on to him. They know a serial killer is on the loose.
They know the serial killer is on the loose, but not necessarily. They're not on his trail yet. In May 14th, 1985, he breaks into the house of Bill and Lillian Doyle.
I'm sorry.
Bad name. It's a bad name.
It's a bad.
Know?
It's a bad name. I mean, we're not going to. I mean, the victims there. They lived. Died
I can't
horribly.
Do that. You know.
We can't, we just
I cannot
can't.
Just say just do it.
What's the name?
It's hard. It's hard to even say the name Doin without going Doin.
Yeah.
Doin. You know, kind of like.
Right.
You know what's his name? I'm from Gilbert Grape. There are certain people that have
Leonardo
DiCaprio.
Yeah.
But I won't do that.
No. And you didn't. And you didn't do it. But Henry, I'm interested. Who did he kill next?
What? Oh, he
who did the Richard Ramirez? Who? Lillian. Oh.
All right.
Oh, interesting.
All right.
All right. So Miss Doy and her husband Doy.
Yes. Bill and Lillian Doy. They have names. They were human beings with pulses and families.
Yeah. So I'm
at least their names weren't like Cracker Pants or something. Yeah. You know, like even a worse last name, you know.
Bill Doy.
Yeah. So Richard Ramirez walks in and shoots Bill in the face.
That's rude to do.
How do you like that?
I don't like it.
Bill survived for a bit.
Okay.
And Ramirez beat him unconscious. So he went into Lillian's bedroom, found Lillian there.
That's my grandmother's name, by the way.
Lillian.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
It's a beautiful name.
I want to humanize her after you were so rude about Mrs. Doyle.
You did it to me.
I didn't do anything.
He bound her with thumb cuffs. So I guess he brought those along. And which this is an interesting thing because Richard rarely brought the weapon of destruction with him unless it was his gun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He found everything in the house.
Yeah. It was usually he'd use ties, he'd use rope. We'll get
I
to another
I told you
thing
not to
that
buy that
used.
Garden gnome. You know, you just imagine he slams a chicken somebody in
well,
the head.
Well, I bet the thumb cuffs, that idea probably came from his cousin Mike. It sounds like I bet that was a because you.
I'm
I've
a little
heard
bit
of that
confused.
Used in detaining. That's used for like quick, like make sure everybody get their hands behind their back, and it's great for questioning.
Yeah, I think I know so what you're going to ask, Ben.
Yeah,
Mike. Only he was found criminally insane.
Yes, because of his time spent in Vietnam,
and he only spent 4 years in prison before he was released. And him and Richard stayed in touch all throughout this time.
So the Doys are not having a good night.
No. Lillian is thumb cuffed. This is when he starts. You know, of course, this is when he starts with the "shut up, bitch, or I'll kill you."
Yeah, okay.
Really getting the "shut up, bitch, or I'll kill you." That was the line that he said at the lineup when they brought the witnesses in.
Do you think he thought about different lines like "keep quiet, woman"?
Oh, we'll get into
hey,
his
pipe down, lady.
He did turn it into a performance.
Yeah. He did. Yeah,
yeah down the line.
He really did. He got to be a master at the performance. So the guy that he had shot in the face and beat unconscious, Bill, he woke up again.
Oh, God damn.
He crawled to the telephone, and while Richard was busy raping Lillian in the other room, who, by the way, was an invalid as well.
Yes, that was the thing. They slept in separate rooms because she had cerebral palsy. She had something like that.
Yeah.
And she was bound to a hospital bed. And he, it's a bad crime.
No, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's not like
bizarre.
A funny crime.
No,
I mean, none of this is funny. That's why we bring light to these monsters are not scary. They are ridiculously stupid people that we must make fun of.
They're very scary, though.
And they are terrifying. That's the whole
Richard
thing.
Richard Ramirez is a terrifying dude.
Terrifying.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, horrible person. Yeah.
I know. I was just trying to rationalize why we do the show. You know, when we go on CNN and people
No. That will be years from now when they do Born to Podcast, the UK. You're thinking they will examine our lives and see where we started.
Right.
Lillian Doy survived. Because as soon as the man called the police, he went back into unconsciousness. Richard heard the sirens coming, and he got the fuck out of there before he was able to kill the woman. And of course, Bill died from his injuries at 5:13 that morning,
but not before saving his wife. So, Bill, Henry specifically made fun of his last name quite a bit, but he died a hero.
Yeah. There are a lot of what's cool. Well, I mean, we'll get into the second when we do the second half of the episode as well.
Yeah.
There are a lot of heroes in this story.
Yeah.
Like that's the one thing about normally when we do these serial killer stories, it's to be honest, mostly these people
dumb
get away
cops.
Because it's dumb cops and competing shit. But it's like honestly, you'll see this story made people kind of step up to the plate.
They did, and you know, I mean, the end. Obviously, we'll get to his capture, but the way that he is captured
is
one
incredible.
Of the most
One of the most crazy stories I've ever heard.
Yeah. And of course, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So the Doys are no longer, or one Doy is no longer with us.
No, one Doy is no longer with us. Let's move on to when he starts to move on.
It's just the way you say it. It's the way you say it, and you look, you do a side look at me real quick, and then you just move on like you didn't do that, you know?
What did I do? It doesn't matter.
Let's continue. Let's continue.
Yeah, let's continue. Let's continue with, all right, contain yourself.
All right.
Ma Bell.
That's a fine name. I like Ma Bell.
It was like a neighborhood nickname for her.
Ma Bell and
she
Nettie
was horribly
Lang.
Murdered.
Florence Lang.
I assume everyone brought up by Marcus will be murdered at some point.
Definitely. They were 83 and 81, respectively.
Oh, my goodness. God, he
walked into their house.
Why? I mean, it's all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
9 years old
to
a paraplegic
woman.
It's easy to
kill an 80-year-old person.
To an 80-year-old? I mean, yeah.
He walks in the house. Who knows what he had planned to do with him? And that's what this case tells me is I don't think even he knew what he was going to do.
No,
when
he was
walking in.
He was being
houses.
Real Johnny Coltrane about it, improvising.
I mean, I would say if you shoot an 80-year-old on the couch, it's probably at least it's covered in plastic. The couch. So you can just kind of, I mean, I'm seeing older people. There was something about an older generation. They love to cover everything in plastic. I don't know what it was. I don't know. I'm not making this stuff up.
Those Hummel figurines are a bitch to clean them.
Put those in the dishwasher.
Yeah, you can get all of their weird little Dutch flat hats.
Use a Q-tip, maybe.
Yeah. He walks in. First thing he sees.
It's not bad.
No, it's fine.
A hammer on the counter. Grabs the hammer, thwack, bludgeons one woman.
God.
Thwack, goes and bludgeons the other. Goes back to the first woman, gets an idea. He takes
how the light bulb shows up like in a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Logistics.
Well, that's very appropriate because he took a lamp, he ripped the cord out, ripped the wires out, and then started shocking Ma Bell with the wires.
Was she alive or dead?
Yes, she was alive.
Yeah. She was alive, and he made a makeshift torture device.
These
like
women
that.
Survived for 3 more days.
Do you think Mike taught her how to do that as well?
Honestly, that is a army interrogation
torture,
technique.
Yeah,
that is what they do. They do that. No, I'm certain when you look, because he learned so much from his cousin Mike. His cousin Mike was just the fucking chef boyardee. This alphabet soup he's making. You know,
well, I'm not sure about the analogy, but I'll say
that's
my job. Yeah, yeah. All right. So, how long did he torture Miss Bell for?
It's unknown how long he tortured her for, but after he was done with the electrical cord, because after he hit him in the head, he raped them.
Yeah.
Okay.
After that, and then that's when, again, something just clicked in his head. He went and grabbed a tube of Ma Bell's lipstick and drew a pentagram on her inner thigh.
And this is when it became, because I think that there's also, I imagine, he's having insane psychic experiences. Psychical. Like, he's having probably, like, dreams and, like, walking person, like, hallucinations. Uh-huh. Like, they talk about this all the time. His fantasies were always more real than reality. Like, that's a big thing with serial killers. He's now literally, when they talk about
what
it, it's
do you
like
mean his fantasies were more real than reality.
He lived in his fantasy world when he was a kid and doing these sort of sadistic scenarios in his head for so long. Now it's like, you know, like we talk about all the time, like performing, like we love performing.
Yeah.
When you're finally doing what you want to do and it feels satisfying, there are moments when it feels almost surreal. It feels like you're walking through a dream. He was like,
well, you're living your dream. Yeah.
So he is in this sort of I hate the term high functioning, but he's in this place now.
Seems pretty high functioning, tearing a goddamn lamp off.
He's going nuts. He's just going nuts.
Shocking device.
He's gone completely feral. And now it's him doing like putting the pentagram on her.
Right.
It mean like he's like, this is my fucking thesis.
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna
is my zodiac sending in the fucking you know.
And he drew the pentagram on one bedroom wall, went over and drew a pentagram in the other bedroom wall, and here's an odd thing. When they found
now we're gonna get to an odd thing.
Yeah,
are you kidding? Here's an odd thing. What? How many deaths are we on? We're at 8 deaths so far.
He left 9 Snoopy dolls there.
Well, that would actually be odd. Okay.
Now I had 10 Snoopy dolls. I only got 1 Snoopy doll.
Oh shit!
Oh, shit! I left it.
It really is an odd thing, especially for a serial killer. He makes himself right at home.
Yeah.
He goes.
Well, this is very similar to BTK again.
He did stuff like that.
You would
like
eat
that.
A cereal.
Yeah, like it. Yeah, but this guy, but BTK was doing it to be a dick.
Yeah, he was doing it to be a dickhead.
Oh, and Richard was doing it to be.
No, Richard Ramirez.
He was just hungry.
He was hungry.
He ate two bananas, drank a couple of cans of soda, pissed in the toilet, didn't flush.
That's rude.
Very rude.
No, if it's yellow, let it mellow.
No, that's true. Maybe he did say that, yeah.
And a few days later, a handyman found these two old women still alive.
God.
Whoa,
damn.
They
really?
Survived for days. There were multiple skull fractures. There was brain matter exposed. Their vaginas were all chewed up.
Oh, and- Marcus Parks. Marcus Parks, you're out of the dinner. Get out of dinner. Your mother cooked a nice steak meal and you're just talking about Ramirez chewing up an 80-year-old's pussy. Get out of here.
Well, not literally chewed up. I'm just saying chewed up in the Texas sense.
Like. Yeah, no one understands.
You get your arm caught in a combine, your arm's going to be all chewed up, even though it's not.
Yeah, right, of course. Right. Yeah, like their vaginas were. Yeah.
It's real like a burrito halfway through Henry's destroyed.
Except it's gone. I don't just chew it and leave it.
Yeah, that's true. It was a gum type thing. Yeah.
And that is where we're going to end Richard Romero's part one, when Satanism comes in.
I want to ask this, though, quickly, because I always love your guys' opinion. As far as news media goes, he has his pentagram. He has all this press coming in.
Yeah, because they created the Night Stalker.
Yeah, but is Night Stalker created?
Yes. Not yet. No, not at this point.
No, it's not yet? Okay.
No. At this point, he's still known as the walking killer and the valley intruder.
Okay. So the screen door intruder didn't make it.
No, that was very short-lived.
So do you guys think that the fact that the media covered it in such a glamorous way, it fed into him,
yes.
and then he was entirely like, this is going to make the front pages,
yes.
and did the pentagram thing.
Yes, that is why he escalated his brutality, definitely. It's all about attention, because then it becomes, once it's getting past your, because that's the thing, these people have such this sense of superiority, they believe that other people are bugs. They look at people like they're fucking animals and bugs, they hate them, they hate everybody else, they want everyone to see, like, I'm the fucking king of the hill now. Yeah. Everyone's going to be scared of me. If someone sees my face, that was like a part of it when his face gets released later on. He enjoyed it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like he liked it a little bit. He was a student of serial killers as well. He was a guy who grew up reading about serial killers.
Very common.
Same thing. He may as well have had fucking serial killer trading cards. He knew who he wanted to be. He knew he wanted to put himself in serial killer history.
And serial killer and trading cards did exist for quite a
while.
They
did.
As a matter of fact, they might be around.
We're going to do more of this next week. Yeah. There's a lot to it.
The most brutal murders are yet to come.
This guy is this guy legitimately scares me. Reading about his stuff scares me. What he escalates to, it gets even scarier. It's hard. It's like even after what, like I want a joke, but the murders are just so fucking brutal.
I've been desperately trying to make jokes.
I know.
Desperately.
And you've been failing.
Marcus, take that out. That's rude. No, I want to say, and I don't know the name of the fella, but somebody just made some amazing fan art and sent it to us on Twitter. Really phenomenal stuff.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that. And the last podcast page has been fucking unbelievably awesome.
Yeah, so join the last podcast page on Facebook. Have fun. Post shit.
That's right.
It's a lot of fun. Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, Ben Kissel, Marcus Parks, and Henry Loves You.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. And then Henry's actually going to be a guest on Top Hat, so check that out. We're going to talk about, speaking of Leonardo DiCaprio, we're going to talk about your experience on Wolf of Wall Street.
Absolutely. I want to give a shout out to that guy. His name is Nick Wright. His Twitter handle is at FMarvIllustrate.
Hell yeah.
So go follow that guy. He did some amazing fan art.
Yeah, and again, buy t-shirts from AtomicCotton.com.
That's right.
Show them some love. They're great.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, Magustalations.
Halgeen.
And of course.
Help me!
Well. Hail and hail yourselves, Henry. Yeah. Let them hail themselves.
Go ahead. Do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Don't yell at them.
Yeah. Marcus, well, we love you.
Yeah. All right. Good. Yeah, we do love you.